A blessed day here at The Art of Flying. This is Tobin Osuski, and today our guest is Rachel Sims, who works with natural healing, and she'll tell you a little more in depth about that in a moment. I want to thank you, Rachel, for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. Where can listeners find you online, first and foremost?
Yeah, so my website is rachelsimshealing.com. It's RachelSims, because I know there's a couple different ways to spell those two names. And then my Instagram is Rachel Sims Healing. So the same, spelled the same way. And if you want to email me, it's RachelSimsEnergy@gmail.com. So those are probably the best places you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you. And can you explain to the listeners a little bit about your purpose?
My purpose, it's such a, it's a big question, but for me, my purpose is to help and heal as many people as I can in my lifetime. I think, you know, we all have our, you know, we all have issues, we all have problems, we all have hurts. And I think, you know, in helping people heal, another purpose is to help people connect, because I think that's how we heal. Mm-hmm. You know, connecting with yourself, connecting with others, connecting with the earth and the universe. So in a lot of different capacities, you know, that connection's
awesome.
Definitely.
I love that. And I always speak about with my clients and my friends and everybody around me, how we are essentially the cells of God or the universe, whatever you want to say. And the more we connect, the more we can learn how to teach our cells on the micro level what we're doing on the macro level. And then who knows, maybe there's a greater macro level that's responding and reflecting our consciousness as well. But we'll get into things like that later. But yeah, very, very attuned. Yeah. How did you get on this path?
Man, how long do we have?
As long as you need.
It's a long story. I'll sort of say the shortened version. So it all started based on a chronic illness I had. So I'm 29 now, starting when I was 13. I had some symptoms that came up, and just over the years progressively got worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, all these other symptoms started popping up, to the point where, you know, I was in college, I turned 20, and there were days I was just bedridden. I was so exhausted and had these symptoms that, you know, just felt angry and fiery inside, and were really debilitating. And it's something where it was a lot of symptoms that people didn't know. You know, it didn't show on my face, it didn't show on my skin. You know, sometimes I would get hives and things like that, but it was very much internal. So these things that I was fighting were, again, things people couldn't see. And, you know, I tried all the conventional routes, you know, saw every doctor you can think of, took countless medications, you know, went every route you can possibly go. And, you know, things would help a little bit, but then it would always bounce back and just progress, get worse and worse and worse. And I think there was a point when I was probably in my junior year, so, you know, around 21, 22, where I was introduced to a natural doctor. And he completely changed my perspective on you know, healing. His name's Dr. Weil in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And, you know, he does a lot of different things. I think he was an acupuncturist, Chinese medicine, different things. But he introduced to me, you know, different ways of healing. I remember him asking me to stick my tongue out and look at my tongue. And I thought that was so weird. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, but it was interesting to me because at that point I was like, I'll try anything. And so again, he really introduced me to that. And also there was this woman I followed, Kimberly Snyder, who I don't know if you're familiar with, but she's a celebrity nutritionist. And I followed her for years, you know, to this day. You know, she's one of my biggest inspirations. But we have very similar paths where, you know, we're working in advertising, you know, which is something I did after I graduated, and just living this lifestyle that was fast and busy and not so healthy, you know, drinking, eating crap food, you know, prescription medicine, things. And you know, she found this way of healing by going the natural route. And so, you know, from Dr. Weil, Kimberly Snyder, all these different, you know, people, and I did so much research, and, you know, I really started to heal. And it took me years and years and years. And, you know, to this day, there's still things that, you know, probably need some help. But, you know, just there's been so many different natural healing methods that I've tried, and each time I try something new, it just opens something up for me. And so I, you know, from there, it's really become my mission to help people see that other side of healing. And know that there are other options, and it's not one size fits all either. You know, we're so different, and I think a lot of times some of the conventional routes of healing sort of just, you know, like let's say you have something wrong with your leg. You know, a lot of times you'll go to a doctor and they'll just look at your leg instead of looking at the whole body, like what's going on spiritually, what's going on emotionally, physically, what's happened in your past, what's happened with your parents. You know, they don't look at the whole. And that, to me, is the key in healing, is sort of looking at a person totally, like completely. And really, just recently, too, what I found has sort of been the missing piece for me is tapping into the heart center. So when you can really tap into that space, and everything opens up. You know, the world opens up, and you know, it's been beautiful, you know, in my own experience, but what I've seen from other people who find that too. So, you know, I don't know if that was the short version or the long version, but, you know, that's essentially how I got to where I am today. Cause, you know, growing up, I was always like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I was in this advertising career and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm in sales. You know, I was doing pretty well living in New York City. That's, you know, kind of felt like a dream life for a while, but it wasn't for me. And, you know, my lifestyle really, I found, wasn't helping me, my health. So that's where I am today.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's so pertinent what you said. And I'm going to say, you said, I don't know if that was a short version or a long version. And then you said, essentially, that's my story. So I'm going to comment that that was the essential version. And that's the one that we needed to hear, and that was perfect. And all I could think as you were speaking, I was doing my best to remain present and listen to your story, but I was getting excited because the past episodes kept coming up that we've had a vegan food truck owner who's trying to influence what's eaten at festivals in a more positive way for the health of everybody. Yeah. And we've had a holistic healer who works with energy work and psychological stuff and you know, universal synchronicities and the energy of mathematics and things like that. And it's very much what you do. And I think it's great because you're now an episode and a guest that's tying it up to or into, we'll say, weaving this tapestry that is going to show people certain avenues that they've heard about but they didn't know might be a viable career. Or they didn't know might be a actual scientific, physical way of healing yourself. Because we've heard people healing themselves from depression. We've heard ambition as an entrepreneur to feed people properly. But you're now telling the story, as you've begun to tell us in your introduction and your purpose, that you've had an experience where you've been forced by life circumstance to heal yourself. And as a result, you've extracted these methods like the ancient alchemists used to do or a shaman would have done so that you can share with your community and heal them as a result. So this is a really, really awesome episode. So thank you for being here.
That's
very
so nice
excited.
Yeah.
So into the questions, from your perspective, we're going to dive right into it. What is heaven to you?
Oh, man. Heaven to me... That's another big question. I mean, my perspective, so a lot of people, you know, I grew up in the Catholic faith, so what I grew up believing is much different than what I believe in now. So, you know, you're taught in that, you know, religion that when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. So when I was younger, you know, the idea of heaven is the white pearly gates and you walk up and Jesus is there and God is there and it's beautiful clouds and, you know, your whole family's there. And that's a beautiful thought. And I still, you know, in some ways believe that. But heaven to me, what I believe now is, I guess, kind of similar. Like, I think when you die, the body dies, but the soul lives. And so it's kind of like... In a way, we don't really die, you know, because I think the physical body is here for us to experience Earth. And, you know, as a soul, you come to this Earth knowing your mission, you know, but when we come here as babies and then, you know, through your life, you don't realize what your mission was because you kind of come here a little bit blind to learn certain lessons, to, you know, find that mission, find that purpose and experience different things. And so I think when you die, man, I think heaven is, you know, again, your family does come and greet you and all your loved ones. You know, I believe in angels and I believe in spirit guides and spirit animals. So I think all those people and spirits greet you, and heaven can be anything. I think whatever you feel in your heart is something that brings you joy and brings you happiness, that's what heaven is. And I don't think heaven's just reserved for when you die either. I think heaven can be here, right? Like, people always think, oh, I have to, you know, especially in the Catholic faith, it's like, I have to live this life without sin to get to this place. But I think heaven to me is, again, when you tap into that heart space and you feel that joy. And I actually, on my Instagram, wrote a post about this, you know, yesterday or two days ago. And when you follow that joy, it's sort of like little beams of light, you know, lighting your way, lighting the path. And when you follow that joy, that's heaven. You know, it's those things that light you up in your life, that can be heaven. It's not like you have to follow all these, do all these things to get to heaven. It's just, it can be there if you choose, you know? It's not just a place, it's not a destination, it can always be there.
An experience.
It's an experience.
Or a perspective.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I believe.
I love it. So, this is really cool. So, yeah. I love all of these episodes and the answers to the questions. And a lot of the guests have complimented me on the questions, but it's, I was inspired when I wrote the questions and it initiates or instigates inspiration in you guys. And just amazing what you said, because when I wrote that question, the thought behind it, sorry, there's the exact question and then there's a concept, there's like an energy or a consciousness or a soul to the question itself, right? We want to feel something deeper. We don't just ask questions mundanely. We ask them with purpose, typically. Right. Otherwise, we wouldn't ask.
Right.
So when I wrote that question, it was to almost propagate in people a reevaluation of how they perceived heaven and how to get there. Because it doesn't just tell you, like, it doesn't ask you and you don't explain to the listeners, this is what I view of heaven. Like, every single person has stepped back for a moment as they were answering the question, and they were like, and then how do we get that? And I feel like I've experienced, and so we all have experienced it. And this is my intent with this entire podcast, is a perspective shift. And that's why I say in the beginning, from your perspective, because if we've had glimpses of heaven, our consciousness is aware of that. And it's almost like unlocking a safe and remembering the code again, and the tumblers properly and all in the right place. And then it just opens. If we can sustain that consciousness and that place that we deem heaven, could you imagine how fulfilling life would be, and how untraumatized our species would be? Because the trauma in one being will, in, you know, reflect and give trauma to another being, and we just perpetuate this across the planet. But if a few of us, or a group of us, or a community of us can pinpoint, like the Hermetics used to do in ancient Egypt on the Hermes teachings, right? You find that pinpoint on the vibrational range that you appreciate and that works best for you, and you maintain it, because we are alchemists. We are not animals of men. We are masters of men, right?
Right.
So that was, and you said it, you were like, it's a perspective, and we got to that point. And that's what I want everybody that's listening to understand, is that we may have glimpses of this in a lifetime, and then the rest is just patterned with bland reality, television, traumas that keep reminding us of what we are not capable of experiencing or deserving of. The more we can consciously choose every day waking up, and maybe we can choose it twice tomorrow and three times the next day, four times the next day. Eventually, a year down the road, 95% of our thoughts are going to be in heaven consciousness. And can you imagine what that's going to do to the people around you?
Right. And it's so true, because it's something where I feel like there's a lot of anger and a lot of angst and a lot of this sort of rushed energy, because people feel like they have, you know, there is in a sense limited time here, but it's like, if you can take a step back and, like you said, get that glimpse into what heaven could be like, and change that consciousness and sort of realize that we're here to have these experiences, but everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Everything is okay, you know, and it's just, you know, I don't know, just to treat each other nicely, and that can just change everything. And I think it would, you know, and yeah. it would change, that would really create sort of this heaven on earth, mm-hmm. you know,
figuring out the formula. Yeah, right. That's what this is about.
It needs, yeah.
It's just spirit science.
Right, right. So, yeah. And I think I've learned a lot about that recently, about how, you know, I've always thought things happen for a reason, and, you know, everything's going to be okay, and there's a bigger spirit, and, you know, the universe has your back. But I think I've really grasped that more than ever now. And it's really sort of it's made me feel more relaxed. Like, mm-hmm. This word that keeps coming to me is surrender. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing people need to hear more, is that you don't have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. If you just surrender and can be still, and again, I keep saying it, but tap into your heart, I think the world opens up, and I think everything around you calms down, mm-hmm. you know, and then you can find that heaven consciousness, that real stillness and that beauty, that when we're constantly going and we're constantly seeking out the next thing, the next thing, and the next thing, and just going, you sort of lose touch with the beauty and the, you know, the beauty of this earth and, mm-hmm. you know, the stillness and the, you know.
And so well said, and there's a couple points you made. We're finding the formula, and I'm just getting excited, because that's really what's happening, is we're finding the formula in a manner of how we're going to adjust all of our consciousness on the individual level and as communities to really bring heaven to earth. And mm-hmm. something Rachel just said was, you know, like being in a river and a flow, and then she was talking about being in the heart, and these things are all connected, because if you were in a river that was flowing strong, too powerful for you to swim out of, if you were to struggle against it and fight and try to save yourself and get out, you wouldn't see any of the beauty in nature, like you just said. You wouldn't see anything around. You'd be horrified. You'd be arm by arm, foot by foot, grasping. And it was so funny, because when you said grasp, I'm just grasping. You struggled to say the word grasp. Right, right, right. And that's the nature of grasp. Like, we're grasping for something, right? Word. So it's so curious.
Yeah.
But flowing down the river, and then if you just give in and let go, if you've ever done this, I mean, we have these at water parks. They're called lazy rivers. Like,
yeah.
You just lay back and relax and go with the flow. How many times have we heard that?
So
now, what's interesting is then we talked about getting into the heart. And if you're like, how do you get yourself into your heart? Well, science has proven at this point, and heart math and all these institutes mm-hmm. have proven that the heart holds a significantly stronger electromagnetic charge than the brain does. And we also have a gut intelligence. So we have these three intelligence centers, or sectors even, of our homeostasis maintainment in our bodily form,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
So the flow, if we're ever talking about flow, that's always in the heart. That's mm-hmm. when your mind relaxes and gets out of the way in sports. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, you're really speaking from your heart. If you're a public speaker, nobody says I'm speaking from my brain, right? You've never heard that.
True.
So
yeah.
This is part of the formula that we're going to unlock heaven on earth, because it is here. It's a mm-hmm. perspective change for all of us. And it's not easy. But by a few of us starting it and really figuring out the science behind this, and we're not the only ones, we're just ones that are openly discussing it mm-hmm. and our experiences of it, so you can, through empathy and mirror neurons, mm-hmm. experience it as well, and perhaps spontaneously experience heaven yourself,
yeah.
with an unconscious knowing now, because you've heard this conversation, that we want to relive that experience. So your mind is already working on storing that experience in a very special place where it can retrieve it quite often.
Right,
that's the cool thing about the brain now.
Yeah, anyway. No, it's true. And one thing I'll mention before we get to the next question is I've learned a lot too about dualism and non-dualism. And I think that goes a lot along with what we're talking about is, you know, dualism is seeing everything as separate, where non-dualism is seeing everything as the same, as one. And I think when we can cultivate that idea of oneness, so seeing you and I as the same, seeing me and the tree as the same, me and the dogs as the same, it's you want, of course, if you're all one, you want that person next to you to be doing well. You want them to feel loved and you want them to have a fulfilled life and you want the tree to thrive. And, you know, and it's something where I think if we can talk about this more and people can start to maybe shift their perspective. And I'm not saying you have to shift your perspective. You know, everyone is entitled to their own beliefs. But in my belief system, it's just opened my eyes to, you know, I've always had this sort of feeling that everyone's one and everything, you know, I work with energy. So, you know, of course things resonate, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like the law of attraction. There's, you know, I could go on and on in so many different directions regarding dualism and non-dualism. But, you know, when you realize that everything's one, if that's your belief, then I think it's such a beautiful way of thinking, because then you want everything to thrive. You want everything to, you know, get enough water and get enough food and get beautiful sunlight and, you know, enjoy their life. So, yeah, I love
an appropriate time to ask the next question. Okay. Have you ever felt enlightenment? And if so, please describe.
Oh,
and I think she just did, but
I guess, yeah, probably many times throughout my life, but maybe didn't realize it at the time. Man, I think every day something is like coming to me, something new. And again, that's my beliefs again is coming, you know, we come to this world to learn things. And I think the more you open yourself up to new experiences and just keep that mindset open, because, you know, a lot of times we box our thoughts and we learn something and, you know, it keeps you from experiencing other things. And I think, yeah, there's probably been a lot of times where I've had this enlightenment, but just speaking specifically to this recent, you know, retreat that I went on. So I went on this retreat to Bali for 5 weeks. And it was run by this woman named Ava, who's amazing. I mean, she's this beautiful spirit. I met her 2 years ago when I was living in Australia in Perth, which is the west side of Australia, and runs this beautiful yoga school called the Spanda School. And Spanda means the vibrations of the heart, which I think is so, you know, so beautiful that I've connected with them, because it's become such a focus of my work, and the work that I'm doing is the heart space. And so, you know, we kept in contact for the past 2 years, and, you know, I went to Bali to do this yoga teacher training with her and learn so many beautiful things. I mean, I knew, of course, I was going to go and get my yoga teacher training, and it was a meditation training as well. But I just always like to explain, you know, Ava, you know, I say she's more of a philosopher than a yoga teacher. And of course, she's both of them, but she's so, you would think she's a 90-year-old in a 30-year-old's body, the mm-hmm. wisdom that she has and the way she takes these intricate and big and, you know, ancient theories and philosophies and is able to put them in such beautifully concise, you know, clear words to, you know, in her teachings. And, you know, so I learned so much about the world, and that's where, you know, the dualism and the non-dualism really mm-hmm. stuck with me. And I really felt it, because Bali is such a spiritual place. So, you know, it was such a beautiful time, and it helped me find my heart again. That's what I keep telling people. It was, I came back with these, you know, these teachings in yoga and meditation and philosophy. But what I brought back with me is that I really found that heart space again, and have really been sort of taking every step in my day from the heart, not so much from the head, which mm-hmm. has been my past. Yeah. So
love it.
Yeah.
So really on nice. To the next question.
Yeah.
That said, yeah. and coming from where you just came from, mm. do you feel we can build a utopia?
Yeah, I think anything's possible. Honestly, I always say that. I don't think there's anything that's not possible. Mm. So yeah, that I think it's really possible. It's just a matter of, you know, having these sorts of conversations and you know, they say, you know, a lot of the spiritual teachers I follow, a lot of the yogis and, you know, people in the natural field talk a lot about this awakening that's happening mm-hmm. now. And I really do feel that that this is happening. So it's, you know, not to get too far out there, but...
get far out there.
I know.
It's, go out there. I tell really, us what you see.
Yeah, but I really... That's what we're here for. But I really feel that... and to me, awakening is expansion of the mind, I think. You know, it's not saying that you have to put your old beliefs behind. And, you know, if there's things that you love from your past or, you know, whatever it is. Again, I'm so open to whatever you believe in, but I think there's a level of consciousness that's rising among many people. You know, I specifically do, you know, moon circles at one of the places I work, and that's actually how me and Tobin met, is there's a place called the Sanctuary Den in Mahwah, New Jersey, run by this beautiful woman, Toni. And, you know, we talk a lot about, of course, the moon in these moon circles. We, you know, we talk about the energy of the moon and we do a circle for the new and the full moon. And there's so much happening with the cosmos. You know, I'm not an expert in it, but from what I do know, there's such a shift that's happening. And I always tell people who are a little bit weary, a little bit sort of, you know, think of this stuff as woo-woo, that scientifically, the ocean, which is made up of, you know, more than half of the world is made of water.
Like 80%.
Yeah, like 80%. And the moon affects the tides.
Yeah.
So if we're made up of what? I think it's 67%, maybe more.
Even
water.
More if you're healthy.
If you're healthy, right. Then of course
brain is like 80-90% as
right.
well.
Then of course we're being affected.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by something that's happening. Whatever, and who knows what it is, but... Yeah. There's shifts happening.
There is.
You know?
So I do want to comment on this. Yeah. She said she didn't really want to go into the science too much because she wasn't familiar, but mm-hmm. I happen to be. And guys, this was huge, 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 huge news. Like, I'd say 25% of you thought the world was going to end.
Oh,
in 2012, what actually happened and what the Mayans and Aztecs and Incans and a lot of African tribes and a lot of Middle Easterners and Egyptians, all these people had predicted, was the end of a cycle.
Yes.
And now what scientists, for some reason, did not explain on CNN and Fox News and all these places, but they did in their individual reports and they do in their, you know, just astronomical studies and everything that they're doing. It's out there, it's published, but we didn't get this in the mainstream for some reason. What had actually happened was it was the end of this 26,000-year cycle that has happened so many times since humans have existed on Earth and been able to record it.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the beginning of a new cycle. Our universe, our cosmos work like a watch, like a clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's clockwork, and we know this. That's how eclipses happen. That's mm-hmm. how full moons happen. That's how summers, falls, winters, and springs happen. We are very aware of this.
Right.
So what had happened December 21st on the winter solstice of 2012, what is that, the shortest day of the year?
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah,
shortest
right,
day
right.
of the year
yeah.
was the end of this cycle and the beginning of a new cycle where actually, very interestingly, in a very cool way, all of the planets were aligned to the center of the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and all of the other solar systems that are in the Milky Way. Everything was aligned like it was 12 o'clock
wow.
midnight, and a new day was starting. That's amazing. The reason we've been having all of these blood moons and blue moons and pink moons and purple moons and green wolf moons and all these different moons and all of these eclipses right out of 2012 that seem to be so frequent and we've never experienced those before is because we were coming out of that midnight hour. The new day had started and all of these clockwork pieces were opening up and moving again, and we were then experiencing overlaps, and we were experiencing them in such frequent rates because it was not going to be like that again for 26,000 more years. Well, 25,900.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's the science.
Right, and I have heard a little bit about that, not to that extent, but I remember the 2012 because, you know, at the time I was 12 and I was like, holy shit, like, oh my God, or not 12, sorry. 2012, 22. Yeah, what are we in 2019? Yeah. I was 22.
No, I always mess that up. Like, wait, freaking millennium mess.
But I remember it being like, oh my God, the world's gonna end. You know what's gonna happen?
No,
but
we got an upgrade. That's what it was.
Right, and I did read about that recently. Yeah. And you know, the past, you know, 2 years, 3 years that I've become very, you know, found my spiritual way of living. Yeah, so I've heard a lot about that, you know, the Mayans predicting all these things happening.
And then it was just studying the stars and what was happening and predicting the patterns. It's just algorithms. It's common calculus. And we all learned this in school.
Yeah.
But we just forgot it and got lazy and didn't want to put it together. And then half of us were watching TV and thought the world was going to end or something.
And all
just
the electricity was going to go out.
Yeah, which would have been a potentially good thing. But, but not the world ending, the electricity going out. But that said, we're in that new cycle and it's all opening up, and that's why this awakeness is happening, right? This major trend of cellular resonance on a higher frequency. I mean, look around and look at the science that we're doing as a society. It's unreal at this point.
Things are speeding
and
up.
And we're getting, I mean, Elon Musk is taking rockets off, you know, in Florida, landing them in Tokyo in like 2 hours and, you know, with no discharge of any waste. It's incredible what's happening right now. And, you know, they're building tunnels underground that are going to go 500 miles an hour and stuff. Yeah. Like, things are on the next level. We're into this, like, super space society that we always saw in sci-fi movies.
Yeah,
and it's a lot to do with this cycle that's happening. I mean, the reason for the past 2,000 years philosophy and science has increased in such a substantial rate was because it was lining up to this precipice. Okay. That's 2012, and now we're coming out of it and accelerating into the next phase. And if you look into what the Theosophical Society and a lot of the ancient Vedics were saying, and Helen Blavatsky and a lot of these people, they spoke about this. This is all mapped out, predicted. They look at it because they predict the next coming couple of years and months and decades and centuries. Just look at it. It's a very interesting map to check out. Yeah. But anyway, that said, the art of flying is, of course, about enlightenment and advancing this awakeness as much as we can, or accelerating it. Something I'm very focused on, and that has been a natural ability that I've had adepthood in a sense, is being able to leave the ground and not have to come down at the same rate as other people. And there's not just me, there's a lot of us, and there's other people that are way more advanced at this. And speaking of collective consciousness and trying to get everybody to a certain point, I want to see humans floating and flying around this planet.
Hey,
I mean,
we have carbon
emission issues, traffic issues, we have all. Why don't we just start flying, people? I'm just saying, think about it for a moment and don't laugh at it for a second. Just see yourself doing it. Visualize yourself doing it, because one of you is going to do it one day. Mm. And then somebody's going to see you and they're going to be able to do it, just like everything else humans do.
Well, it's the power of the mind.
So, what is flying to you? What does that word mean to you? Because you just
heard man. Well, immediately freedom came to me.
I love it.
So, yeah, flying so goes hand in hand with freedom. Anytime I think of that, I think of planes and birds and, you know, freedom is, I think, the thing everyone strives for. Right? When you, in whatever regard that is, whether it's freedom of speech, freedom of an illness, freedom of maybe you're in a terrible relationship, you want to get out of it, wherever you feel constrained in any way, freedom is sort of like the ultimate goal, right? And I speak from my own experience, you know, from being sick for so long. As soon as things started, it was almost like layers were being pulled back and, you know, veils were being pulled back. And literally one of my symptoms was I would get this brain fog that literally felt like a veil was in front of me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they started getting peeled back and peeled back and peeled back, I felt so free that I felt like I was flying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the work that I do now, I do a lot of energy work. So through all my experience with the natural healing, I'm now getting more into energetics and shamanic work. So a lot of past life trauma, you know, I've learned so much about how the body holds so many things. It could be from your own experience, from your parents or, you know, generationally or, you know, just different ways that your body can hold those, you know, traumatic mm-hmm. experiences. And so I've done a lot of my own sort of uncovering and releasing of those, that negative or traumatic or blocked energy that's in my system. And every time I do it, I feel myself a little lighter. So it's almost like I'm flying, you know, because it's like I'll get to a point where I'm like, oh, you know, this must be the lightest that I can feel. And then the next day I'll do some kind of breath work or, you know, cacao ceremony or whatever it is. And then I'll be like, oh my God, I just released something else. I'm even lighter. And it's, you know, of course, it's not like every day I'm getting lighter and lighter. Life's all about ebbs and flows. So sometimes you might have a bad day. And, you know, like today, you know, in all honesty, I woke up and I felt really low. And I've had this really great week and I felt things moving forward. And, you know, I felt like, oh, you know, things aren't going to happen for me. I'm, you know, what do I deserve? It's sort of the self-worth thing. And, you know, and but all the work that I've done, I know I've learned to sort of step back from those feelings. So it's almost like you're putting them in front of you or to the side of you and just not attaching to it and sort of examining it from afar and saying, okay, the feelings that I'm having are not who I am. You know, I'm at the core of all these feelings. And to take a step back from it, you know, sort of examine why it's happening. And if you can, try to release it. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes things can take a little while to release, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I always say with any type of healing, being gentle with yourself is the most important thing because we're mm-hmm. all so hard on ourselves. So when you can, you know, take these heavy things and again, I think I've learned a lot recently too about not attaching mm-hmm. to you know, remembering things from your past or remembering traumatic things is okay. But when you can not attach to it, that's what you want to release. You want to release that attachment to whatever you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So in regards again to flying, freedom in anything.
I love it. Guys, yeah. She's floating 3 feet above her seat right now and she didn't even realize it. And when she started talking about that heavy stuff, she started sinking back down.
Right. It's the truth, though, and probably in some sense, right? Yeah. Yep.
Have any of your dreams come true?
Yeah, I would say so. Again, just kind of going back to what I was just saying, life's all about ebbs and flows, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the idea of dreams has changed a lot over the years. And I think it goes with, again, just realizing that we're here to experience different things. And just because maybe one day I'm having a bad day doesn't mean my dreams can't come true. It just means I have to get through something, you know, something shitty that was stuck in my energy or stuck in my physical body. And then I can get to those dreams. But yeah, my dreams have definitely come true. I mean, I would say I've had a lot of shitty moments in my life, but definitely some things that, you know, have made me really happy. You know, for one thing, I've met this amazing guy who, it's kind of funny. It's, you know, I haven't really talked, you know, about this on a public platform before, but, he's someone who I've known for a long time and we just reconnected, you know, after 10 years and, you know, he's the most supportive, loving, gentle person. And, you know, that's sort of, you know, that's a dream, a recent dream that's come true is that, awesome. Yeah, he's really, really wonderful. And, you know, it's funny in all the spiritual stuff, I was always kind of like, oh, you know, some of this is, you know, for me, when I started getting into it, I'm like, is this stuff really weird? Like, are people going to find it weird that I'm going on, you know, on this path? Am I going to meet anyone who really gets it? And And yeah, and of course there's been a lot of people who I've met who really, you know, agree with a lot of these beliefs, and but he's just been so wonderful with all of it. And he's, I always say he's almost more spiritual than I am. So
inspiring.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's, well, that, and
happy
I think
that dream came true. That's awesome.
But yeah, and even just, I think even the stuff I'm doing now, I think I've been, like I said, I've had so much shit stuff happen in my past, especially with my health. And I always say, without your health, you don't have anything. Like, you can still have a beautiful life, of course. Mm-hmm. There are people who are chronically ill their whole life. But for me, before I really knew that you could have, like, a life without chronic illness, it was all encompassing. Like, that's all I saw, you know? And I think from that, it's given me this purposeful life, right? I found my calling. I found this work that I'm so passionate about and I'm so in love with, and I'm learning new things every day. And I'm not only for myself, but for, you know, so many other people. And that in itself is sort of the dream. And I think it's funny, it kind of goes along with this really funny little story that I heard about years ago, and again at this retreat I heard again, and it's called Bad Luck, Good Luck, Who Knows. Have you heard of it?
I'm not sure.
So it basically goes like this, is there was this farmer who had a horse. Have you heard this?
Yeah, tell it.
And the horse, okay, so the horse ran away one day, and all the neighbors are like, oh, that sucks, you know, your horse ran away, you needed him to do your farm work. And the farmer goes, bad luck, good luck, who knows. So the next day, the horse comes back, and he brings another horse. So now the farmer has two horses, and everyone in town's like, oh, that's amazing. Now you have two horses. Your work's going to get cut in half. This is, you know, you're so lucky. And he goes, bad luck, good luck, who knows. The following day, his son goes to the farm to train the horse, this, you know, this new wild horse, and the horse throws him off, and he falls and breaks his leg. And everyone in town goes, oh, this sucks. You know, again, you have this bad luck. Your son now has a broken leg. You're going to have less work, you know, hands to help you in the farm. And the farmer goes, good luck, bad luck, who knows? And the following day, the army comes to town to take all the eligible men, healthy men, to go to war. But because the son's leg was broken, he couldn't go. And so everyone in town was like, oh, you're so lucky, your son didn't have to go to war. You know, who knows what would have happened if he had gone off to war. So essentially, this could go on and on and on.
Yep.
But I think it's such a short but beautiful story, because it shows, even if you're in your shittiest time, you never know what it's going to bring you. Mm-hmm. And even when you're in a beautiful time, you should still love it and experience it, but you don't know what it's going to lead to.
Mm-hmm.
I think what that shows you is you have to just be present.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, you know, you can have goals and you can have dreams. I think that's what pushes us and moves us forward. Because of course there's things, you know, you want to, you know, anyone wants to better their life, right? But I think being present and appreciating every moment and appreciating everything, that's going to make your, you know, your dreams will come true even quicker that way.
So how would you feel if your dreams came true right now? To whoever's listening, this is pertinent, right?
Okay, yeah,
to whoever's listening,
yeah.
What is your greatest dream that you could ever dream or wish for yourself and your life and your reality? Close your eyes right now while I'm saying this. Picture it. Visualize it fully as if it exists. Mm. See that all the time. You're allowed to. You have permission. See it. Feel the feelings that you would feel if that were your reality right now. If you opened your eyes and that same reality existed outside, how would you feel? Feel those feelings in your current life.
Yeah.
And based on what Rachel just said, she feels her dreams are true right now. She's living in her dreams true as they get. I feel the same way. I know other people that feel the same way. And not everybody is a billionaire. Visualize your dreams. How would you feel if they all came true right now? Because that's how you should feel right now. And trust, you are much more likely to manifest that dream state that you saw when you closed your eyes by feeling it coming true than not feeling it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, can I say real quick, I'm so happy you said that, because we talk so much about that in the circles that I hold. Mm. So we do, I do, like I said, the moon circles, but also I do a lot, you know, women's circles. I've done only a few and I'm hoping to do more. But manifesting is something anyone can do. That mm-hmm. is our God's gift. That mm-hmm. is our right, our human right. And I think the most important thing is exactly what you said, is to feel it and feel it like it's here now. Because to think of it more in the future makes it harder to get, mm-hmm. you know,
it keeps pushing it away.
It keeps, cause you're saying, oh, when I have that thing, then my dreams will come true.
Not yet. I'm not ready yet. The universe, literally, I'm not ready yet.
Right. Cause it's all about energy.
But if
right?
you feel it now, and right. it's almost right. an expectation, and the universe right. has to return on right. that expectation, because exactly. it's an ebb and flow. Yep. It's a give and take. There's mm. nothing that goes without response in this universe.
Right. Right. And it's like that law of attraction, right? Yeah. If you feel that you have it and you feel you deserve it. But that's the key too, is a lot of what I've learned about manifestation is you have to feel you deserve it.
Exactly. Because feeling you have it already.
Right. Right.
It's mine.
Right. Right.
I deserve this. Yeah. I possess this.
Yep.
I am this.
Yes.
I am here.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah. But you really have to feel it. You can't just think it.
Yeah.
It's two felt. Separate things.
And it's very much a different thing. Like you have to imagine yourself, if your dream is to be in a 10,000 square foot mansion, close your eyes right now.
Feel
picture
it.
Yourself in it. Go walk through all the rooms. Right. Dive in the indoor pool. Just be careful.
Yeah, right. But that's the key, is you got to feel it.
The key. I like that.
That's
a key word.
It is. It is. You got to feel it and you got to believe you deserve it.
I love it. Rachel, what's the highest level of human accomplishment to you?
Highest level of human accomplishment. That's a hard one. You know, it's funny, we have all these different kind of competitions in the world, right? You have like the Olympics, you have the NBA finals, you have, you know, the spelling bee. I was just going to say the spelling bees, right? There's all these different competitions. Mm-hmm. And it's these things that people strive for, you know, they live their whole lives trying to strive for these things. And I think, you know, of course, in itself, that's an accomplishment. But I think, you know, I think an accomplishment can be anything. I know I keep saying that. I'm such an open thinker. So I think from one person to the next, of course, they're going to believe the highest, you said the highest achievement, right?
What's the highest level of human accomplishment, essentially?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I think highest level of human accomplishment, that's such a hard question. I've really never thought about that one. I think it might sound corny, but I think everyone, whatever you're doing now is amazing. And I think, you know, you have so many abilities to do anything. And I think whatever you're striving to do, you can accomplish it. Cool. It's so corny, but I don't think there's any.
But I'm going to redirect the question.
Okay, redirect it.
For you, in your reality.
Okay.
On your deathbed, and they say you have one moment left.
Okay.
And you're going to review in your head the moment of your life that you felt was the highest level of personal accomplishment.
Mm.
What would that be for you?
Okay. I know what that is for me.
Okay.
So I think for me, like I said, my mission is to connect people.
Mm-hmm.
My highest level of accomplishment, I think, would be just to connect as many people as I can, you know, and from that heart space, not just, you know, in any sense, but I think connection is the way to heal. I think we are biologically designed to connect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not biologically designed to be alone. That's mm-hmm. just not in our DNA. That's not who we are as a species. And I think, again, it goes with the non-dualism thing, is a lot of times we think we're separate, mm-hmm. right? And we're supposed to live separate lives. And, you know, of course we're living in our separate bodies, but, you know, I think we lose touch with that idea that we're meant to connect.
So how do we inspire others to attain that? That's literally the last question, and that's exactly what you need to be asking.
How do you inspire that?
To get a worldwide connection, how can we inspire others to attain that?
I
it's
got
to happen before your lifetime
before
ends,
I
because that's your goal.
I think just communication.
Okay.
I think by doing things like this, having this podcast, reaching as many people as we can. Mm-hmm. But I think it starts with one person. I think if one person connect to someone and have an effect on them, that person, you know, that will lift their mood. Hopefully the connection's a good one, you know, but maybe it's not a good one. But whatever it is, the hope is to inspire positive connections, because it's that law of resonance, right? And it's that energy. It's all energy, right? So if you can impact someone in a beautiful way, it could be something small. It could be opening the door for someone, giving them a wave, you know, maybe giving them a hug. It could be something big, like, you know, giving someone their monthly paycheck, or, yeah, you know, something that's really gonna, you know, put a smile on their face. Whatever it is, just inspiring those positive connections, mm-hmm, and those positive vibes, it's like a ripple effect then. And I think people forget about that, because, yeah, you know, it's little things can have such a big impact. And again, it starts with one person. If one person can do that for one other person, that's great. If they can do it for 10 other people, that's even better, and so on and so forth. And yeah, that's sort of my hope, is just to
create that ripple effect.
Right, create that ripple
Amazing.
Effect.
And I wish we were in the year 2030, because we would have this technology where, like, I could pull a YouTube video right now and, like, plug it into the podcast, and whoever's listening can, like, tap the marker on the podcast and see the video on YouTube. Because there was this woman, and I'm sorry, I apologize to her, but I've forgotten her name. But she started this movement, and it was like a crowdfunding thing. But at the same time, it got like CNN hype and like major news network hype and stuff. And she got a lot of, you know, press and publicity for it. And it was Kindness Ambassadors. And they came up with this video for Modest Yahoo, who's a musical artist. He's kind of like a soul artist, reggae, pop, hip-hop, a little blend of something new. He was a Hasidic Jew rapper that came out years ago that has just transformed into like a spiritual guru of sorts in the music world, and just very inspiring. But they overlaid it to his song One Day, and it was this video that she choreographed and scripted, where it was all people doing little tiny favors for each other on the street and seeing the ripple effect that, like, the person who had the favor done for them a moment later would do a favor for somebody else, and how quickly we could affect the world and change the world. And, like, I signed up as a kindness ambassador at all this stuff. Like,
That's so nice.
I got, like, a little certificate, silly, but just to support her movement, because it was brilliant and beautiful, and it was exactly what you just said. And, you know, unfortunately in our society, and we've kind of tapped upon this, where these moments, these glimpses of an enlightened utopian heavenly consciousness and reality pops up on our planet, and we're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, that's exactly what we should be all doing all the time. Like, why do we not do that all the time?
Right.
And then we forget about it because it's not viral anymore. It's not, you know, being shared anymore. And something else has come up, and who knows if it's trivial or if it's impactful, but usually not on the positive side. And that was something that was huge. So hopefully you all who are listening are impacted in a positive way by what Rachel just said, and how we can create, you know, such a reality on Earth, and what these levels of human accomplishment are for the individuals you listening, and how you can get to that point, which really is just doing kindness to everyone and to everything, and to water a plant that looks like it needs water, and to, you know, give
Thank
an animal a treat,
that.
And little things this that can just restore balance to this planet. And maybe someone will see you from a distance and want to do that in the future. Also, go out and look at this video, and look up this video, look up Modest Yahoo's One Day Kindness video or something like that. Look it up. Get this woman views. Get her back in the press again, and get that movement going again if it's slowed down at all. Anybody that listens, whether we have 50 listeners or 50,000 listeners in the future, I hope all of you that listen to this go and search for that video and give her some press again, and give her some buzz, because that movement was a really heavenly thing on this planet. So in closing, I just want Rachel to plug all of the places that you can find her again, because she's amazing. And look up her, not only her websites, but reach out to her through email, like she said in the beginning, because she hosts events, which I'm not sure how publicized they are. But if you reach out to her, she'll fill you in on all the details. And hey, if you're in other cities and you're in other places in the world, get this girl traveling. She needs to be around speaking to everybody, connecting and helping to improve the consciousness of the planet. Again, Rachel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Tobin. Yeah. So, as Tobin said, you know, you can find me at my Instagram is Rachel Sims Healing. So it's RACHELSIMS and then healing. My email is rachelsimsenergy@gmail.com. And then my website is rachelsimshealing.com. So all spelled, you know, the same way, except the emails with energy at the end. And like he was saying, so I do a lot of different things, from detox work. So colon hydrotherapy is where I started my, you know, my natural healing work in. So I do that. I do my energy work. So, you know, I'm practiced in Reiki, Donna Eden energy medicine. And then I have a couple other different, you know, modalities that I use. I do circle work. So the moon circles, we do twice a month at the Sanctuary Den, possibly elsewhere in the future. There's some things in the works. Some women's circles are also in the works, and some more outdoor circles and type of activities are going to be, you know, in the near future are going to be happening, but a lot more to come. So
awesome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Guys, check her out. Tune in. Thank you for listening. I hope you extracted some gems from that, things that really impact you in a positive way. That's the purpose of this. It's to share what we've experienced and gathered through our traumas, through our successes, and that we feel would be fruitful for you to experience without having to go through all the things that led to those things. So heaven on earth is our goal, guys. You are all creating it. Get out there. Go help somebody. Do some good. Pick up a piece of garbage. Water a tree. Water a plant. Smile at somebody. Just do it. Don't hesitate. If your instincts and your intuition tell you, do the right thing. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you.